All right, I'd like to bring to order the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay. Before we get started here, I would just like to take a moment to recognize a young man from our community. Austin Reed, who went to sleep on Saturday night and didn't wake up. And he's been a member of the community here. He's helped out and volunteered for a lot of stuff. A lot of people know him, and I just would like to take a few minutes of silence just in remembrance of him and in honor and thoughts to the family. Thank you. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Director Leet.
Thank you. Okay, so where am I, you guys? Hold on a second. Okay, public comment. This is the time when we ask people that have anything that they would like to talk about that's not on the agenda to come forward and address the board. And I have a card here from Robert Beresford. Sir, would you like to come give us some information?
Thank you. Good evening, Board and General Manager Mr. Davies. I'm back again this week as safety concerns regarding the intersections of Highway 4 and Discovery Bay Boulevard and Highway 4 and Newport Drive continue to rise. On Saturday, September 29th, I created a post on Nextdoor titled Turning Onto Highway 4. In the post, I warned other Discovery Bay drivers about the safety hazards at those intersections. As of today, there have been 131 comments from other Discovery Bay residents that also expressed the same concerns. In many of those comments, local residents shared their own close calls with drivers that used the designated right-hand turn lane to speed through these intersections while passing traffic on the right. There were also over 50 thank yous from persons who especially appreciated bringing these safety concerns to light. On Thursday, October 11, I created an online poll titled, Should Caltrans Make Changes at Highway 4/Discovery Bay Intersections to Make Them Safer? One day later, there were 162 votes, of which 99% were yes votes. 3 days later, there were over 200 yes votes. Today, less than a week later, there are 226 votes, of which 97% are yes votes. I understand this problem has been brought up before, as I've had several conversations with Jim Madison, another concerned Discovery Bay resident. And incidentally, he would have been here tonight except that he had to attend a meeting in Brentwood, something to do with the fire department. I'm not sure what that was. Over 18 months ago, he raised the same safety issues at a community service district board meeting, much like this one, when a previous general manager was in place. Around that time, Mr. Madison exchanged information via email and telephone with the staff at Assemblymember Jim Fraser's office and with Caltrans. After acknowledging the traffic safety issues that Mr. Madison and other concerned Discovery Bay residents expressed, Caltrans told Mr. Fraser's staff what would be done. A staff member from Mr. Fraser's office also sent that information to Mr. Madison via email. One of the handouts I provided to the board shows the content of that email, and I believe it was also made available to the audience. Unfortunately, little has been done. Instead of extending the island from the Discovery Bay Boulevard median, as Caltrans told Mr. Fraser would be done, a white semicircle was painted on the blacktop. The only change at the Newport Drive intersection was an additional right turn only sign on the north shoulder of Highway 4. In August of 2017, after many more emails and conversations with all involved, Mr. Madison finally spoke with the Caltrans engineer who was analyzing these safety concerns. During the conversation, the engineer made a comment similar to, quote, since there are no major accidents or deaths on file, nothing more will be done, unquote. On to Discovery Bay residents who voted 226 times to send a message to Assemblymember Jim Frazier. I'm here asking that the board please invite him and a Caltrans representative to the November 7th meeting. Furthermore, if one or the other is not available on that day, again, on behalf of a multitude of concerned Discovery Bay citizens, I ask that another board meeting date be chosen when both Mr. Frazier and the Caltrans representative can attend together, so residents can share their concerns to both parties in person. It appears that emails and phone calls do not seem to have much impact. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the board?
Well, we, at the last meeting, directed staff to send a letter to Assemblyman Frazier's office and Caltrans. Did we do that?
Yes, we did.
Have we got a reply back then?
We got a reply this afternoon, and the reply was that they'd be happy to receive an invitation and attempt to bring someone to a future meeting of the board to make a presentation on highway.
So my only comment on that, sir, is that I think what we need to do is send them an invitation and coordinate the scheduling rather than, you know, November 7th is 2 weeks away, rather than set a date and say, be here. I think it might be better for us to invite them to a meeting sooner than later where they can both agree to be here.
The reason that the November 7th date was chosen was because representatives from the sheriff's office and CHP would be present also.
And we can try to coordinate that for the first meeting of every month, but all we can do is make the offer. All we can do is, ask them to attend, and I think that would be fine. I don't have any problem with it. Anybody else have any problem with inviting?
No, I experienced it last week. I experienced the same thing down on Syntax, past Mixland. I was moving at the speed limit, maybe just a little bit, when a car passed me that I believe was doing better than 70 miles an hour and almost hit a car coming out. So the problem is there, we know it. And you realize the platform here, that is not part of our responsibilities, but we do everything we possibly can to get to the right agencies to bring resolve, and we'll continue to do that. And thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Steph, can you send out an invitation to the future meeting?
With approval of the board, I'll send a invitation with some dates of our board meeting and ask if they can arrange to be at one of those. I would suggest that even though the Sheriff's Department and if we wait to do that, we're looking at once a month. So I would say get them here when we can get them here, and you could communicate on the other days if we miss it with the Sheriff's Department and the CHP.
I imagine that we could at least invite the Sheriff's Department here. CHP seems to have a little less presence, but and invite them to whatever meeting that is, and hopefully they can attend also.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other public comment? All right. Public comments closed. Moving to consent calendar.
Move approval of consent calendar.
Second.
Then moved to second. Any public comment? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Veolia, Bernie, it's all you.
Good evening. Hello. Okay, from about September, we changed our safe practices for 300 days of safe practices over 161,000 miles. Safe what? The month of September, we did our safety training, and we did have forklift training with our staff and the town staff. We combined and held that at Grant, too, so that went very well. And all reports were submitted to the state on time. 96 million gallons of water produced. We start saying that we're going into low demand. We tapered off a little bit there with the high demand, and we have dramatically cut back quite a bit. All vaccines were negative. You can see as we start to trend down now with the water reduction. Yeah. Still around 27% for the month of September compared to 2013. wastewater running beautifully. The plant's running very well. You can see we're almost producing still drinking water quality out of the wastewater plant. So things are going very well at the wastewater plant. All lift stations run beautifully. We did start our sewer line assessment in September. We start over the lake, we'll work towards to the whole part of town here, and manhole inspections in September. And the staff continues to do a wonderful job of keeping the PMs up to date and closed out. No backlog currently, we're all caught up. It's been a long way back to team in. And call outs are starting to go very minimal, things are going very well.
Chief with it, great. Thank you, Bernie. Any questions for Violin? Good job, Ben. It makes your job easier when you give a report like that, doesn't it? Well done. At this point, staff with a presentation.
I think we're ready. Okay, we've got Brandy Tone from Lions Club here tonight with his check, so we'll turn it over to Monica.
In case you can't read it, we decided to get even a larger check. It's just been a real pleasure working with the community center, working with Monica. I mean, obviously, we've developed a very successful program, and this is, again, we're reaping the benefits of that. We raised another, we had $8,000, so $4,000 goes to the community center. I think, what total, about $20,000 approximately for the four contracts,
the two years.
So,
fantastic.
You know, it's not going to build a new community center, but hey, she's done a lot with it, the Lions Club certainly happy to be part of it. So,
and we surely appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. Yeah. Hey guys, let's go down and get a picture, a photo op with the board down here.
Why don't you go that way? And they can come this way and over this way. Come over here, Brian. Get the flag for mine.
Okay.
Set away for the TV. All right. Come on, Chris.
How's this work, Don? Feel okay here?
Yep, I think that'll work. One, two, three, and we'll do one more. One, two, three.
Okay. Don't move, guys.
Oops. We got the middle one here. I'm sure we all have
to talk about it.
Okay, that's great. Every bit helps. We appreciate it very much. Okay. Item F1.
We're going to turn this over to our finance director, Dina.
Good evening. The item before you has been brought to the Finance Committee for review before coming to the full board tonight. I'm requesting to increase the authorized expenditure limit from $100,000 to $350,000, excluding the Veolia monthly invoice, any intra-fund bank transfers, as well as any capital improvement progress payments. Do you have any questions?
I guess why would you have the exclusions? So this is something special and we need.
So the reason why I have this exclusion is because Veolia water was always excluded before. So it was excluded before because it was over $100,000. That was excluded. I've added the interfund bank transfers because if I have to transfer a large sum of money to put it at the deposit at the bank at the county, then I need to write multiple checks. So I don't know if you noticed at the end of June when we transfer the recreation department's money from ECC Bank to the county, we have to write 2, 3, 4, 5 checks depending on how much money is in there. So this kind of excludes that. We can write one check, deposit it at the county, and it's done. Also, progress payments. Now with some of these bigger projects that we're doing, the progress payments are very large. And we'd like to be able to write checks for those progress payments ourselves instead of having to go through the county, which can take a long period of time to do. so.
So some of those progress payments would be more than $350,000.
Yes, they would. Oh. Yeah, so it, like some of the filtration, some of them are $500,000.
So rather, so there was a limit of $100,000 prior. So what you would do is write three or four checks for $100,000 then to keep it under the limit. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. So when we are you asking about the transfer?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the community center, when they get their payments via Visa, it goes into a bank account at ECC Bank. At the end of the year, we take that money, we leave a little balance for issues, and we transfer it to the county because they are our treasurer. So if we have $160,000 in that bank, we have to write $50,000 check, another $50,000 check. So we would do it that way so that we could just transfer the money. Well, we write $100,000 check and a $60,000
whatever.
Check. Yeah. So this alleviates that. We could just take, we could write one giant check and transfer it over into the county. So, and now also that we have the water meter money coming into ECC Bank as well, into our town revolving fund, we have to make sure that we don't have too much money in those bank accounts, because as our treasurer is the county, we can only have a certain amount of money in those bank accounts.
And, so that, and that's regulated? That's regulated by the county, how much money we can hold on our
own? No, that's actually government code.
Okay, regulated by somebody.
It is.
By a governmental agency.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably do that sometimes, but for some reason it just didn't click. I'm like, well,
yeah, no. So we've been writing larger. We want to write some checks out of that fund, so we can kind of draw down that bank account, and some of those checks could be larger. So,
any comments from the audience, from the public? Okay. Any further clarifications from the board?
So we're just going to be more efficient. I don't understand. Writing paper checks doesn't seem like much of a chore.
It's not necessarily.
I'm worried about us getting checks sent out that are above that amount and we're not able to track that. Are we losing?
Well, you're always going to track it because they're coming to the board before I send anything out. You have to approve them.
Yeah.
So I can't send anything out without board approval. All checks are signed by board members. All the register is looked at by the board members and they sign off on that. So nothing gets sent without going to the board. So you will see every single check that we write.
So times are changing. We have to keep up with it to streamline the process. This is the right thing to do, and trust the same safeguards are in effect for the 350 as it was with the 100,000.
I have no further questions.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Dina. F2. I guess that's Mac, huh?
That's Mac again. It's going to be the Mac show for a couple of items.
The Mac show. Okay. So, good evening. Staff is pleased to present this evening a final draft of the 2017-18 Recreation Services Annual Report. This annual report is an important tool in building a solid foundation for the development of professional recreation services that will enhance the everyday lives of our residents of the town of Discovery Bay. So here's a few highlights from this year's report. I'm probably not as good at this as Bernie is, but we'll try. So
Bernie's tough to beat.
Yeah, he's got this thing down. So anyway, again, we've got a lot of great programs, activities. And here's some of our highlighted programs. Foods in the Park, Summer Jam. Positive Parade Activities Guides, the three of them again this year, the workshop we did, and get a little better at our Facebook and website. And of course, some of our special interest offerings. So dance classes, adult lap, driver safety ed, cards, soccer, Zumba, tennis, bridge, river otters, goes on and on and on. All kinds of good stuff. Okay, so one of the things we've added to the report that we're getting better at now is we started creating these graphs which can help us track each fiscal year. So on this particular one, we're able to track the last three fiscal years. So you can see that there's been a little bit of an increase. These are participants who are in our soccer programs, dance classes, art classes, painting classes, youth tennis, driver's ed, and those kinds of classes. You can see the numbers aren't too bad. We obviously have a little work to do for next year, see if we can get them up. But now we can start tracking what those years look like. The aquatics program, this basically tracks the recreation swim. So when you want to come and just pay your $3 and swim, we were able to track it starting in 15-16, 872, or over the course of the season. And our season's basically Memorial Day to Labor Day. In 16-17, down a little bit. And this past year definitely took a bounce. So people have discovered the pool and they're coming. Nice place to hang out with the family for the afternoon.
This excludes the otters that are in the organized.
This excludes
team.
The otters,
good.
Yeah.
Good. Oops.
Good. Go ahead, more. Oh, wait, I think I had it the first time. Let's see. So our park rentals. So you can see in 15-16, again, we're talking park rentals, which is you want to rent a picnic area or a Cornell Park, you want to rent the barbecue area in the back. It's just you want to come in, you want to rent it so that you have exclusive use of the facility. It's generally just families. 184 rentals during the course of 15-16, 234 for 16-17, 302 rentals for 17-18. And it's interesting to note that the barbecue area was out of operation most of the year. So that number could have been a lot higher, because that is definitely a high demand area. Now that it's redone, expect that number to get a lot bigger next year. This one's kind of interesting. If you recall, the board kind of authorized us being kind of a library stop. So the books, as you walk through, I think you've all noticed a little depository right outside the door, and then folks can come in and pick up their books right here in the back. The library moved, so in 17-18 the number did drop, but I know once the library, the new one started operating again, we were having like 3 bins get dropped off here. Now we're assuming it's just because everybody was waiting for their books, but it is working. It's a free service that we do provide. Now this one's the most interesting. So what I did was, starting about 18 months ago, I had our part-time staff who work Monday through Friday from 4 till close, and Saturdays and Sundays, to start taking an hourly count of the people who are utilizing this facility. So if you look at it for 17-18, for the tennis courts, over the course of the fiscal year 17-18, we had over 3,500 users that were tracked using it. This is a conservative number because we don't track when we're here during the workday. And of course, on the weekends, you know, there could be several hundred people out there, and a couple hours later, could be nobody out there. So for the use of the tennis courts, over 3,500. For the event lawn, over 6,600. And inside the community center, we've got over 9,600. And the dog park, which has been an interesting topic lately, we've had over 1,500 users. So this kind of gives you a sense of the folks that utilize this facility, although it doesn't always seem like it, especially when you're here in the evenings. But this is what happens on a very conservative basis throughout the year. So it'll be interesting to see what 18 and 19 looks like. And so that's kind of some highlights. So again, staff is recommending acceptance of the 2017-18 Recreation Services Annual Report. And I did have one change that we did want to make. It's on one of the last pages in the book that you have in front of you. I just forgot that, Bill. So when it talks about fee waivers in that little bridge, is everybody going to see that on the last page? So the Bridge on the Lake Senior Program, they're the folks that utilize the building on Saturdays. So that number is actually needs to be reduced when we finish the report off here by $1,182. So if you recall, a couple of years ago, we started with the process of charging. So the group, when they come in, is basically $1 per player per Saturday, and they pay us every week that they come in. So we were able to recover the $8,190 original fee waiver. We recovered $1,182 for a total of $7,008. So we took a little bite out of that. And then, of course, at the bottom it says total fees waived. That should be 17-18, not 16-17. So those would be the changes that we would make. Otherwise, we're recommending acceptance of the 17-18 Recreation Services Annual Report. Any questions?
Good job. I'll make a motion that we accept as noted.
Second.
I'm still doing the math on the 12 we're down here. Okay. Any comments from the public?
Where can we get a copy of the report?
We usually put that online. We put it online last year, so once we finish it up, we'll put it online.
Any more discussion from the board?
Well done, a very comprehensive report.
Really appreciate the graphs. It gives us an opportunity to, you know, that's what we believed however many years ago that we, 5 years ago when we opened the community center up, that it would take a while for growth to occur. And I think we actually have some evidence of that. So I'm pretty pleased at that. Thank you for putting that in and letting us know what's going on. We just hope to keep growing it, make the community more aware of it, get Lakes and Lakeshore more involved if we can. Also, to be aware of what goes on over here. So. Did I have a motion in a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you very much. All those in favor of accepting the report? Aye.
Aye.
Done. Thank you, Mac. I think you're still there. Don't go anywhere.
I am, I'm not. For you, basically, staff recommendation to make some parking lot changes. Kind of some background on this for you. This past spring, staff had the north end of the parking lot repaved. And of course, once we did that to complete the process, we need to come back in. I don't know if you guys can all see it on the north side there. We've got to put our lines back, the arrows, and those kinds of things. With a significant increase in the number of community-wide events and the number of residents and non-residents in attendance, staff and user groups have been spending considerably more time and effort related to parking issues. So working with our contractor, the proposal was to have the additional work of striping key areas in red to mediate the challenges of keeping these areas around the community center clear of vehicles and allowing open emergency access should the need arise. And again, this is for those large events, food truck roundup, car shows, summer jam, all those kinds of things. So, any questions on what we are?
Well, the only question I have is that all you've shown us is the red curb, and you haven't shown us where how the parking is going to be, where the stripes are going to be, and how many parking places we are either losing or gaining.
So what we're looking at is,
there's no chart with that on there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've got this right here on your quote. So we're adding 22 new spaces. That would be in this area right here. So if you recall, there was striping here, there was striping here.
Right.
They're basically going to do the striping and kind of give us a middle area as well. So add a total of 22 spaces in there.
And I think that's was where there's a lot of random parking going on without any rhyme or reason. Is that correct?
Correct. So we're going to be putting that back. We'll also be putting in here, keep clear. We'll be getting some arrows, directional arrows going in. And then while we were at it, these are areas that always create issues for us. So we were looking at doing those in red. Here they would clean up these spaces. The handicapped spaces, per the contractor, is a little out of sync. They're going to kind of fix those up and restripe those as well. So basically, it cleans everything back up. You give staff the ability to work with those big special events and asking people to move their vehicles.
So what are you asking for here, Matt?
So what we're looking for tonight is basically to accept the proposal to do the restriping and to add the reds.
And just to interject slightly, the proposal may increase slightly because we haven't actually made sure that they're paying prevailing wage. So it would be the prevailing wage rate, which may increase it slightly.
That answers my question as to why there wasn't a dollar amount on the staff.
Yeah, it's for the bid behind it.
Yeah, I saw the bid, but I'm not sure whether we were going to go with 1975 or the 2725.
Staff was looking at the 1975. The addition of the extra few hundred dollars was just to add some signage for the ADA section, which is an option at this point. His cleanup will take care of it, but if we want to go a step farther, we have the extra money.
So we don't Staff doesn't feel that we necessarily need the additional signage.
Not at this point.
All right, thanks.
So let me ask a question. So code, does code mandate a sign and an on the ground or just one or the other?
It's my understanding that it's down on the ground, and then because I don't think there's any handicap up there right now.
Well, but we want to be compliant.
I can answer that.
Thank you.
Okay.
The on the ground and a sign if you want it to be enforced by law enforcement, and we want it to be enforced by law enforcement. We don't. So in order for it to be enforceable, it has to be marked according to the vehicle code, and that requires, I think, markings on the ground and the signage.
So that's what that's the government. I thought there was a code that said that, and that would mean that they could at any time come in and ticket somebody that wasn't properly marked as a handicap for parking, even though it's considered a private area, or it's in our case it's public, but
well, it's private
parking.
Open to the public.
Public, right? Okay.
All right. So the proposal then would be to go ahead and authorize the additional signage, which would bring the total of project 27, 25. Maybe a little more once we verify for bid.
Right.
I move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any public comment?
Yeah.
Well, you have a motion on the floor, so.
I need to have public comment.
Okay.
I have not had public comment. I have to have public comment.
Oh, okay.
But we should have done public comment prior to the motion being made, so just hold on to that for a minute. Go ahead, Mr. Gutto.
Well, just real quickly, if the intent is to.
Come on up here.
Okay. Parking here has always been very restrictive. I mean, just looking quickly at the map, instead of doing the no parking area, there's red stripe, why don't you just cut those sections off, and now you add 4 or 5 more spots to you right there.
You have to go show us what you're talking about. I don't want you to
look. Cut this off. Now we've added 20 more spots.
Oh.
Cut this off, because this whole area is kind of very restrictive. And so now you could add at least 10 or 15 more spots there as well.
That would be a major construction project.
Yeah.
It would involve having an asphalt company in, a paving company in.
There's 25,000.
And it wouldn't be done this year.
Okay. And that's
a good idea, but
thank you. Any other comment? Any other comments from the public? Hearing none. All those in, there's been a motion and a second. We're good with that. I would now ask it for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Mac. The only thing, clarification I want to say, if in fact it's going to be substantially more because of prevailing wage,
we'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Substantially more.
I mean, sometimes, depending on what labor rate they're using.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Mac, for that. Appreciate it. Item 4. Conflict of interest.
I'm going to turn this over to
that because there'd be a conflict of interest. So,
turn this over to council.
So, the plate. Thank you. Before the board is resolution amending the town's conflict of interest code. Biannually, the town is required to amend its conflict of interest code by the Fair Political Practices Commission. This amendment amends the amendment that staff's suggesting is an amendment to the aggregate gift limit. And if there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
What was our last limit, and what is it?
Yeah. Good question.
The previous limit was $470 in aggregate, so you would be able to accept gifts and up to $470 prior to 400 small gifts of $50 or less from a single donor up to $470 prior to reporting them on your Form 700. This amendment and the FPPC has amended the regulation beginning January 1st, 2019 to the limit of $500 to adjust for cost of living.
So still at no greater than $50 at a time, though?
Gifts in excess of $50 still remain reportable.
Reportable.
Gifts less than $50 in aggregate of more than $500 in an annual year would be reportable.
And that's an individual limit?
Individual aggregate limit. That's
gotcha.
Correct.
Any public, any clarifications? Any more clarification? Any public comment? Hearing none?
Move staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. And our item five.
I'm going to bring our water and wastewater manager up, Virgil.
This item here for the Newport PLC and SCADA system upgrade. If you remember, maybe you don't remember. In early part of January, we went out to bid for this project, and we realized after we opened the bids that the time frame to complete this project might interfere with our demand as it starts to pick up right around end of March, April, May time frame. So we nixed it and said, let's wait till the fall, rebid it again. And so we did rebid it here recently. The bid table that you have show the four bidders. Last time when we did it in January, we had only two bidders. Two of the four bidders are ones who bid early part of January. One of their costs went up and the other one went down just a little bit. But nevertheless, one of the new bidders' price came in very well. But it still brought us, when we add up all together our engineering costs yet to be done, any inspections, that type of thing, we might run over our CIP budget. So Veolia stepped in and said, hey, we can help you by doing the SCADA part. But they did have a staff member who's very qualified in doing that. So then, because of that, we then had to go back to the contractor and see if that became an issue with them. And it was not. So, but what they were concerned was, contractor was, I'll probably need to do some coordination with the staff of Veolia and them. And so we left a few dollars in there. But if you go to bid item number five on that bid table, and for ICAD Lighthouse Electric, they had put in $16,000 there. So we got to reduce down to
$5,000?
Just $5,000. So that helped us have a little extra room, wiggle room in there, in case we have something that's unforeseen. The unforeseen that's possible is, generally when you put anything new underground, a lot of times we add extra blank conduits, electrical, and depending on who's running it, sometimes the cost comes up. And so you say, no, let's go only two maybe extra conduits and rather than 10, that type of thing. Well, we believe there are a few extra conduits there. We don't know until we start. And so if we don't have any, we may have to open trench and put in some new conduits, that's all. So staff is just looking for the low bidder, ICAD Lighthouse Electric. And we'd like to start to move on this project so we can have it completed before demand early part of 19.
Oh, Virgil, Mac asked for $2,700. You come up here asking for $150,000. I don't
know. $153,000, just to be fair.
Thank you for that report. Is there any public comment? Okay, hearing none, board discussion?
Yeah, Virgil, clarify. Have we worked with ICAD before?
We have not, and actually, I thought somebody would ask me this question. Out of those four bidders, we've only done work with one, but they're all big names, and our electrical engineer, we have two electrical engineers that helped Discovery Bay, one on the wastewater side, one on the drinking water side, and our electrical engineer's office is out of Fresno, and he was the one that recommended them. And so he had told them about the bidding, so they submitted their bids and so forth. And this particular company does a lot of stuff in-house, creates their own panels and that type of thing, so they can get the cost way down for us.
Okay, that would be
the they have done a lot of municipalities, and we have checked on them already through the municipalities.
So you answered it, but as you look at these bids, you're pretty knowledgeable on this subject. Why are they lower than the others?
Yeah, that's always comes up there. Okay. You know, why are you leaving X amount on the table? Yes. Or under the table, and so you investigate and figure out why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
What's the approximate time frame from
We believe if we could get them here, the contract signed before November 1st, we're probably looking at the end of March to have it completely done. That's our goal. Probably be sooner, but that we allow just a little extra in case something happens.
Right.
Well, I make a motion we go with I Can't Lay House Electronics.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving on to management reports, I believe. Director reports, I'm sorry. Any meetings that anybody wants to report on that were attended in the last 2 weeks or so?
Just had a park and rec committee meeting today, and some of the items that Mac had explained to us that we discussed a little bit, but this is an update to the dog park. There were some residents who showed a good interest in helping us try to make sure we thought of everything for the dog park upgrade. And what we decided is to have a kind of a work session with staff and with that group, and staff's going to put together something, and once they fully explore all the options, they'll come back to the rec committee and make some recommendations, which we'll then bring forward to the board.
Is that meeting going to be among staff and that group, and then they'll come back to the committee?
Yes.
So the committee's not necessarily going to be at that meeting?
Correct.
Okay. That being the case, would you send me an invitation to that meeting, since I'm a dog owner and used to park here? Just, I didn't want to go if there was already going to be two board members there, just for
appearance. I think I'm out of town that day.
So, when is it scheduled for, Matt?
We just talked about it a couple hours ago, so I
haven't. You got me. You got me. Would you, again, just, I may or may not be able to make it, but I do have some interest in that, and maybe have some ideas, since I've visited dog parks all over the country and Hawaii. Go ahead.
And the other item we have an update on is the front entrance area. We were out to bid to upgrade and repair the stucco and the bikini. And there'll be a second bid authorized to do the landscaping work. So that will come a little later. So this may interrupt the holiday season, so the front entrance, we may not be able to put up all the little decorations, but we're making progress, and I think the community will understand. And then on the pool, being the pool is in a pretty well fully open condition at the moment, all the pipe and all the stuff has been put in. There was a suggestion made that maybe we could take a look at this point and possibly expand from 3 lanes to a 6-lane pool without major disruption. We asked staff to take a look at that, because if we don't ask that question now and we finish the pool as is and find out later that, gee, for some additional investment, we might have been able to accomplish something that we didn't think about. So we asked staff to expedite a review of that and bring it back to the committee.
I think that's a great idea. Well done.
Assuming you're looking at that for the River Otters.
Yes, trying to make it into an actual competition-sized pool. It's not going to be a brand new pool, but just take the right-hand side if we're up here, expand it out, whatever is needed, but we don't have a cost on that. Rumor is that could be a $200,000 addition, which I don't think we have the funds to do that, but we want to make sure and verify what.
Now would be the time to do that research, absolutely.
Correct.
Any other director's reports? Okay, manager's reports. We've had a few. Anybody else have anything to add? Virgil?
I just want to update you. Excuse me. Veolia and our water engineers, Rudolph, is coming in. A couple of times a year, we go out and we measure the aquifers. We have devices in the aquifers today at different levels of the aquifer, measuring every 10 minutes what's the depth of that water. And so a couple of times a year, we pull those devices out, download them onto the computer, and then we send them to a CAS GM program that the state has asked a lot of us to participate in. And but anyway, we started that today. Veolia and Rudolph Scaminelli have started that today. Finish it off tomorrow. But one of the things we have to do in order to make these, pull these devices out of the ground and so forth, is that we can't run the wells for at least 8 hours or more. So there's any, so there's no movement of the water, the aquifer. Because when you run a well, it dips down to kind of a V shape, and then it, when the well shuts off, it comes up. And coming up, we want to measure how fast that's coming up or slow, helps determine how good is that aquifer doing for us or not. But I just want to let you know we've been working with that.
When do you expect that report to be completed?
Well, the report we get probably 3 to 4 weeks from now once they analyze.
I'd like to see that when it's done.
Yeah, okay.
Thank and you. Shutting off the well for 8 hours has no effect on the residents.
Well, we did differently this year. It does, because they come in like about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
In previous years, we used to shut down both facilities. We come in and top off all our storage tanks, and then we lower our pressure, and then hope we didn't get down to the fire level, so they'd have enough time to pull their samples. But last year, we ran into a problem. So now, with the water demand going, we have to alternate nights. So like last night, we did Willow. We shut Willow down. We come in, we fill up the tanks at Willow. Newport runs the system. So Newport feeds it and Willow backs it up and brings it down. We only lose about 6 feet on Willow side. And then tonight, Willow will run the system and Newport will be offline. We'll top those off. So Willow will feed the whole system. Newport's just there as a backup.
Is this a new project?
No. We've been doing this for years. So we have been doing is shutting everything down at late at night, like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, I think, something like that. And just let it sit idle and hope, pray. If we don't have somebody hit a fire hydrant, then no way.
Thanks for
the sounds like a much better way to operate that test.
The prayer works, but I do like the a little more secure way to do it. Thank you. I don't have anything other than the fact to let the board know that the some gave all the Joy Grace Foundation removed the banners off the poles for the season, and it's all cleaned up and there was no incidents and everything's cool there. General manager report.
No report.
Correspondence is listed. Future agenda any future agenda items anybody wants to bring up at this time?
Well, not knowing what's going to be discussed at the in the closed session, because I don't know what that number is, I would like to have a discussion on Hoffman, but that would be under closed session. So, however we need to schedule that future item, I'd like to have that at the next meeting.
That's fine.
That is this item.
Okay.
Well, so, just in case we don't finish the discussion, we want to have it. We'll know at the end of this meeting whether we need to have
it. We can put future agenda items on any time between now and the next meeting, so that's fine.
Actually, the board is direct that this be a role in future item.
I remember hearing that, but I didn't see it anywhere, so we're up to speed now.
That being the case, what a nice segue. Council, closed session.
The town Discovery Bay adjourns to closed session under the item identified on the agenda as M1.